Italy is not the only country wrestling with the consequences of migration. We are here in the U.S., obviously. So is Australia. The World's Shirin Jafari has a story of some refugees in legal limbo with the Australian government and a deal that was supposed to help some of them out.
Late last month, Abdul Aziz Adam tweeted this video. It shows a group of young men at an airport, all glued to their cell phones. Safe journey, guys, Abdul Aziz wrote in his caption. I'm sure the American people will give you welcome at the airport. Abdul Aziz is not with them. He's one of about 2,000 refugees the men in the video left behind, thousands stranded in Australia's offshore detention centers in the South Pacific, on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, and in Nauru. Australia says it won't take them. If it does, more will follow. But the U.S., it said it will take some of them.
I've got the Skype window open. Okay. I see you.
In 2016, the Obama administration struck a deal with the Australian government.
That's correct. In fact, I signed the agreement.
That's Anne Richard.
I am the former Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees and Migration.
Richard says Australia has long been criticized for conditions at its offshore camps. She's criticized them herself. And in fact, it was after her criticism that the Australians came forward with a proposal. Could the U.S. resettle some of the refugees stuck on these islands?
We were surprised by it. Their proposal was not something that we had heard about in advance.
But it was good timing.
President Obama wanted us to bring more refugees to the United States. He wanted a significant increase in the number of refugees we were bringing every year. So this also fit into that overall policy.
Remember, this was happening at the time when thousands of refugees were dying on their way to Europe. The time when the body of a Syrian toddler, Alan Kurdi, washed up on the shores of Turkey.
The whole world woke up to the fact that there were massive numbers of people uprooted and on the move.
Within a year, the two countries had a deal.
The deal itself remains classified, so I can't outline for you all of the terms of the deal, but the overall impetus on the part of the U.S. was, we will take these people, we will take large numbers of people from Australia, but they should do a number of things.
One thing Australia had to do in return was to accept refugees from Central America. Why Central America? Because of what's known as the Protection Transfer Agreement. Bear with me here. Before the talks with Australia, there was a spike in gang violence in Central America. People from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala were desperate to flee. Many were coming to the U.S. To help manage the situation, the International Organization for Migration, United Nations, and the Costa Rican government negotiated an agreement, the PTA.
I thought it was a really interesting idea.
Caitlin Fora teaches at California State University, Long Beach. She was doing research in Costa Rica when the agreement was announced.
So the idea was that the program would very quickly be able to evaluate people who needed to flee and move them to Costa Rica, where they would then undergo the rest of their processing before being resettled in the U.S. or somewhere else.
So when the time came to speak with the Australians, the U.S. said, yes, we'll take about 1,200 refugees from your detention camps if you take the refugees being housed in Costa Rica. Australia said, deal. A spokesperson for the State Department wouldn't say how many Central Americans are going to be resettled in Australia under the deal. According to reports, though, so far 30 people have made it there. But Forat worries about how they're going to adjust to their new home.
Those who, in many cases, were trying to get to the U.S. had family or had contacts in the United States that would have helped them with settlement, with integration, with getting started in the country. And I don't know, you know, being transferred to a country where they have no contacts, no social networks, no personal support networks, I think would be very difficult for them.
Meanwhile, human rights groups say the U.S. deal doesn't solve problems on Manus Island. Last week, the UN said there's a worsening sense of despair among the refugees there.
Hello.
I talked to Behruz Buchani, a Kurdish journalist who's been on Manus Island for 5 years. He told me he knows about the U.S. deal. He knows people who've gone.
Until now, about 80 people left Manus. They are living in America, but we don't know what will happen for others.
It's unlikely that he will be among the people the U.S. agrees to resettle. The majority of the refugees who've been accepted are from Afghanistan and Pakistan. Bouchani is from Iran, one of the countries on President Trump's travel ban. I ask him how he feels about that.
What can we do? Nothing. Yeah, just we are waiting.
Trump initially called the U.S.-Australia agreement a dumb deal. He asked the Australian Prime Minister if anyone knew who the refugees are and would they, quote, become the Boston bomber in 5 years. But eventually, he said he would stick with the agreement, though taking in fewer refugees than originally negotiated. It's not what Ann Richards worked for. Still, she says, taking some refugees is better than taking none.
I'm hopeful that once these first few groups have arrived and behave like so many refugees have arriving in the U.S. before, we shall see that they make perfectly fine Americans. The U.S. has had a proud history of being a home for refugees and immigrants. And so if we are not going to continue that, who are we?
For the world, I'm Shirin Jafari.